I want to read from the 34th Psalm, and I want to read the whole thing, okay? So, if you want to turn there, Psalm 34, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is a man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. That guy was really huge. Oh, Goliath, I'm talking about. 9 feet tall. Now, think about that. Go out to our basketball goal over here. He'd be only that far below the rim of that goal. Remember Andre the Giant? The wrestler that was out there? He was 8 feet tall. He looked like a giant to me. 9 feet tall. But David was brash and bold and full of confidence. You know the story. He went to visit his brothers on the front line. David already had a reputation of being a brave guy, a strong guy, and a fierce man. But he had to watch the flocks because he was the youngest while his brothers went to war. And so his dad asked him to take some food to his brothers, and he went up there, the brothers, and there was this man out in front of the armies. And these armies had confronted each other, and the Philistines had sent their champion out. And it was apparent that the Israelites did not have their Achilles. They did not have someone who could go out and challenge this man. And he said, look, you send someone out to fight me. If I win, you'll serve us. If he wins, y'all serve me. And no one would come out. In fact, it says the whole army fled from before him. And he was a blasphemous guy, a real smart aleck, you know. David came out there and saw him. He said, who is this guy? And they said, oh, well, he's their champion. And King Saul has said, whoever defeats this man will have all this gold and will marry the king's daughter. And he said, what would they do to him? What was that again? He said, they'll get all this gold. They'll marry the king's daughter. He said, who is this man? Who is this guy that's going to stand between me and the king's daughter? He went to the king. The king says, no, this man will overwhelm you. You can't do it. As good as you are, you can't do it. And he said, look, King Saul, when a bear came around and started bothering the flocks of my father, I killed the bear with my own hands or with a weapon that I had. I'm not afraid of the bear. I think he should have been afraid of the bear. But he didn't fear the bear. You remember that guy and his spouse who were, or his girlfriend that were up there in Alaska, I think it was, and they were taking pictures of the bears and they were living with the bears, and oh, it was just wonderful. And they had these programs on TV how they live with the bears, and they really won't harm humans, you know, if you're just really part of their family. One day, Papa Bear woke up and said, "Junior, remember that fresh meat we've been keeping?" "Yeah, Pop, I'm hungry. Let's go." And he went down and literally made a meal of those people. They should have been afraid of the bears. David wasn't afraid of the bear. Even a lion comes around. He said, I grabbed that lion by the mane, by its beard, and I smote him. Or whether that means he had a sword or he had a weapon or something. You know, those, I think it's the Maasai tribesmen used to. A coming of age for a young Maasai warrior was he had to go out and kill a lion with a spear about that long. And that was his rite of passage. David wasn't afraid of the lion. He wasn't afraid of Goliath. This is what he said to Goliath. "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Not afraid. Kind of like these old World War II guys I know, Dad. Not really afraid of any man, because he'd faced a lot of fear in his life from people, and he wasn't afraid. My dad was the same way. David even had the king hurled a spear at him. King says, "I'll pin David to the wall," because he was jealous of him. But you know what? He prospered through that part of it. Saul removed him from his presence and anointed him as commander of 1,000. He went out and came in before the people, and David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. No fear. But what happens now? This is a Psalm of David. And now he needs deliverance from his fears. What's going on with that? I thought this man was afraid of nothing. There's nothing that would bother him. He wasn't afraid of the lion, the bear. He wasn't afraid of the king. But now he is a man who needs deliverance from all my fears. He was on the run when he wrote this. Because finally King Saul decided he wasn't just in a fit of rage against David. He was determined to kill David. And the king's son came to him and said, "David, you got to get out of here, because the king is going to kill you and no one can stop him. He's going to send his men against you. You're going to die." So he took off. David was one of those men, those people, was down to nothing. He was running. He didn't have food. He didn't have a weapon. He didn't have anything. He stopped by the tabernacle, which was out at a nearby place to Jerusalem, stopped by the tabernacle, and they had in there Goliath's old sword. And the priest said, why don't you take this? And David said, "I need something to eat." And he took the consecrated bread from the altar there, because he was in need of bread. And he fled. When Saul came and saw what the priest had done, he killed 85 of the priests in revenge. David had no friends. He was on the run. Things looked pretty hopeless. This poor man cried. The Apostle Paul said this to the people at Corinth: "When I came to you, brothers, I came to you in fear and trembling." You remember when he came to Corinth? He had been beat up a lot. cut, beaten and left for dead in one place. He got stripped naked in the public marketplace and beaten without trial, unjustly. He had his enemies were following him everywhere. Sometimes he said he was hungry and thirsty and in mortal danger from people and from the elements. He'd been through a lot, and I think he was just worn out. I don't want any more, Lord. You know, I'm here in Corinth. Finally, there was a vision from the Lord. You remember, the Lord came and says, I have a lot of people in this city. Don't be afraid. See, fear is something that comes to us all. We may be brave in one way, but there are other ways that fear comes into our lives and it grips us. There are two kinds of fears that get us. It's our next slide there. First of all is the fear of loss. The fear of loss. And we've heard that from people here. The loss of people, of relationships. The loss of jobs. The loss of security. Loss of health. Loss of this and loss of that. Things that we have no control over us. That we know that life is going to, just the fact that we're living is going to take away from us. And it's fearful sometimes. I like what Johnny said. He was retiring and he didn't know what was going to happen. But the Lord took care of him. And some of us have faced that, are facing it. I've got that in my future in a few years, a couple of years. How are we going to make it? And we get prepared the best we can, but we know this. There's a certain amount of fear we have. The other day I was up here, and they brought the chairs and the tables in, and they had a truck deliver that. And so we all got out there to help unload it. For the first time in my life, I couldn't keep up with the guys that were unloading the truck. I just had to, I got to take a rest. I was getting where I couldn't get their four chairs to a cart, you know, and they're stacking them up, and I couldn't get them up there. And I'm not used to that. And so it tells me that no matter what I do, and maybe I exercise and a lot of things that I do, that I'm losing my physical strength. That bothers me. That's fear. That makes me a little fearful about the future. I've had good health, but I know that time, I'm a pastor, I see it all the time, I know that time and circumstance will take that away. That's just life. So I have this fear of losing it. And we have this fear of loss of love and loss of people and loss of security and loss of health and these things, and we have to deal with these fears because we can't live our lives fully and completely if we live under the bondage of fear. Here's another fear, the second one I think they get us, is a fear of insignificance. The fear that our life will count for nothing. You remember John Wesley? John Wesley was raised in the church. He was quite a man. He's quite an accomplished man at a very young age. He was a professor at a university, at Oxford University in England. He was an Anglican priest. He was a man who tried his best to do what was right and tried to imitate Jesus in all ways. Tried his best to do that. Decided he would become a missionary to America. Came over to America, to the colony of Georgia, and utterly and completely flopped as a missionary. In fact, he had some charges against him. It's a long story, but he really had to get out of Dodge. He had to leave town under a cloud, and so they sneaked him out of the country, basically. He got back on the ship, and on the ship there were a group of Moravian people, families, and this great storm came up. huge storm. Wesley was utterly terrified. And the people that were with him, those Moravian people, were over there all praying. And they seemed to be okay, even the children. And it bothered him. And he wrote in his journal that because of his fear, he felt like he didn't have faith. He said, "I came to America to save the Indians. But who, oh who, will save me?" He explained later, "It's not I was fearful of dying, but I was fearful that in dying, everything I'd done meant nothing. I didn't have faith in God." Fear of insignificance. Well, we see what David did, and he wrote this psalm. How did David master his fears, and what can we learn from David here, from this psalm? And I had several things I saw and I want to talk about here. First of all, to master his fear, he blessed the Lord. He blessed the Lord. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord." Now, my family, my wife, has just been through what we call a bad experience. Her dad died. It was his time. He had been suffering a lot, and it was really appropriate what happened to him. And he had made some expressions of faith to me that we cling to, believing in God's grace and mercy. And we had a nice send-off for him, and the family was in accord and peaceful and all this and all those things that make. But it was kind of tough on Joanne because she was daddy's girl, you know, all her life. And it's tough. And so it's pretty rough letting him go. So Sunday, we just came back Saturday night. The funeral was Saturday morning. We had to come back Saturday night. And so I got up and came to church, and I said, "Joanne, I have to come earlier than her." And I said, "Get ready, it'd be good for you to come to church this morning." And she said, "Okay, I'll go." And she's suffering. So when we first started, we had the communion over here, so I had to sit over here. I didn't sit in my normal place, which is over here, which has George's name on it. So I had to go to somebody else. So anyway, she wasn't here. I thought, oh boy, she's just not feeling up to it. She's not coming. But she was just a little bit late. And after a while, I'm over here, and I saw her over here. You ever watched her praise the Lord? And hand up like this. Just kind of like this. She's kind of a shy girl, but she was over there praising God. I knew she was going to be all right. I knew it would be good because she's praising the God of her salvation and the God that can bring her through anything. And the God that was really good to her dad, even though he died. Praise the Lord. He says, "I will bless the Lord." He's in a place where he's having to feign insanity to save his life from the very people of Gath. What's Gath? Gath was where Goliath was from. And he had to flee to those people and feign because he was being pressed from his own people. And he came over there and said, they said he'd gone insane. And they said, "Oh, we sent him away from here. He's a nut." But he said, "I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall constantly be in my mouth." And he was mastering his fears by praising God. I think another thing, the second thing he did was he considered the Savior of his soul. He said this, "They looked to him," that is God, "and were radiant." They looked to God. He considered, he thought about God. He thought about his wonderful God. You know, in Hebrews it says this, "Consider him," Jesus, "who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart." There's just something about when we're afraid, when we think about Jesus. Jesus had fears. "Oh, Father, if it's possible, would you let this cup pass from me?" And he was so upset. scrunched his forehead up so much that he broke the capillaries in his forehead, and they mingled with the sweat, and the blood and the sweat flowed down his face. See, he knows what you're going through. And when we look to Jesus and see how he endured, he is our elder brother. Somehow that helps us to gain the courage to face whatever it is that's making us afraid. And we gain the confidence because Jesus is with me, and because Jesus has gone before me, I'm going to be all right. The third thing he did was he cried out to God. He cried out to God. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, it's all right just to call out to God. Oh, God, save me. Help me. Call out to him. He's the source of our strength. And then he had this, and I'll finish up here. The fourth thing was he respected the Almighty. I said respected because we're taught, oh, you don't fear God. You don't be fearful of God. We were told the fear of God really means to respect God because we want to present always a kind and indulgent deity who would never harm us. We don't want that picture of Christ that Martin Luther had. You know, Martin Luther thought of Christ as the judge rather than the Savior until he could come to faith and understood that Christ did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And he began to understand about grace and about serving God through faith. We don't want that, but consider this. Consider the people that Moses brought to the mountain of God. Do you remember the mountain of God? The mountain of God shook. It's like a volcano. And the voice came out of the volcano, came out of the mountain. It was so fierce that people couldn't stand it. They said, make him stop speaking, Moses. We can't stand this anymore. This is what it says in Exodus. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, you speak to us and we listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. For God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin. See, it's a good thing to fear some things, isn't it? To have a healthy fear of it, not a terror or a phobia. A healthy fear. What if that man had had a healthy fear of the bears? Right? There are people who get along in Alaska all the time. And they have a bear confrontation. They have that pepper spray or something to help them out. They're not so naive. They have that healthy fear. It's good to have a healthy fear of heights. Not a phobia, but hey, you could fall, and that's a good fear. I think it was John Wesley who says, give me 100 men who don't fear man but do fear sin, and I'll take over England. It's a good thing to fear God in the right way. Just like I used to fear my dad in the right way. I knew if I did something wrong, whoo, buddy, I better fear him. And it kept me on the straight and narrow, you see. God does love us. It says this, the fear of the Lord. You say that's the Old Testament, not the New Testament. Look what Paul says. He's talking in Romans about the Jewish people and us being grafted into the Jewish tree. He says, quite right, they were broken off. They were stripped away from the faith because of their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Don't be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. See, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it also says perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves judgment. So the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. And the fulfillment of wisdom in you is to love God. Because when we love God, that takes us out of all danger. And that saves us. And his grace saves us. The fifth thing is he trusted in Jesus. We say Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, David looked forward to the Messiah. He was a prophet. He trusted in his Savior. He trusted in God. He says this, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So it's a matter of trust, isn't it? When it comes to fear, do we trust God's going to take care of us? If I'm fearful about retirement and the money and things, how that's going to work out, I have to say, God is my helper. I'll trust in God, and if I really trust Him, He's going to take away that fear. He's going to take care of me because He's always taking care of me. I know that He will. I have to use due diligence and all that to be as careful as I can to prepare. But I know this, God is my helper. I will not be afraid. When my health begins to go away and life begins to ebb from my body ever so slowly, I will not be afraid, for I trust in Jesus to carry me through. When I get the bad word from the doctor, I'll trust in the good word of Jesus Christ in my life, because I know that He is going to save me. And when I'm crushed down by things, this is what I know. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's my God. Therefore, I will not fear, though the mountains fall from their place and the oceans recede away. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will fear no evil, even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. God helps me conquer all of my fears. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your wonderful, loving care over us. We love You, God. There is no terror of You in our hearts. But there is a healthy fear in us of walking away from You. So, Lord, keep us. Help us, Lord. We know You're going to be there for us. Keep us faithful and help us always to look to You. In Jesus' name, amen.